You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Toronto Blue Jays with MLB.com's Blue Jays beat reporter, Gregor Chisholm. Gregor, the Jays already made one of the first significant moves of this winter, dealing Adam Lind and bringing in Marco Estrada. So the first thing I want to ask is how does Marco Estrada fit? I mean, he's a guy who has in the past been a pretty successful starting pitcher. Does he figure as a starter, a reliever, a swingman? How does he fit in?
As of right now, he slots in as kind of a swingman, long reliever in the bullpen. But, you know, this is something I've said a lot, that this is probably the most challenging offseason to date for Alex Anthopoulos. And I think you can kind of see some of the obstacles just in that one move alone. I think what he's trying to do is give his roster as much flexibility as possible going into this offseason, because the Blue Jays have a number of holes that they have to fill on this team in order to put together the type of organization that they want to in order to get back to the postseason. This is an organization that hasn't been there since 1993. So with so many holes on that roster, I think they want to just have as much flexibility over the next month or so as possible. And acquiring a guy like Estrada gives the Blue Jays some additional options moving forward. He's the type of guy who could be moved in another deal. It could give the Blue Jays the option of taking offers on a guy like left-hander Jay Happ, who they just picked up his option for next season. So it puts them in a position where they could deal a starting pitcher if they need to. But as of right now, if everything were to stay the same, Estrada is a guy who could just give the Blue Jays a little bit more versatility with their overall pitching staff. He would slot in as a long reliever, but he is someone that could make a spot start every now and then, and he would probably become the first line of defense if one of their starters were to go down. He just provides the team with a lot more depth than what they had before.
And as far as parting with Lind, was that just purely a financial thing? Because he was obviously a pretty valuable part of that offense, especially the last couple of years, as not only a power guy but an on-base guy.
Yeah, absolutely, and there's no question about it that part of that is financial. It does give the Blue Jays some additional money to spend this offseason. He's set to make $7.5 million next year, and while there wasn't really much doubt that that option would get picked up, there was certainly some question marks as to whether or not the Blue Jays wanted to slot that into their payroll. I think primarily it was financial, and then the other part of that does get back to that flexibility side of things again. You know, the Blue Jays have talked about maybe not going with a traditional DH next year, which is what they were locked into when they had guys like Edwin Encarnacion and Adam Lind kind of splitting time between first base and DH. They have explored kind of, you know, the option of using the DH spot as almost a kind of a rotation to give guys more frequent time off, which is something that they want to do a little bit more next year, whether it's getting Jose Reyes a day off in the field, Jose Bautista, guys like that, keeping everybody a little bit more fresh. And then the side note of that is also, you know, the earlier waiver claim of a guy like Justin Smoke. He's someone who they think might be able to come in and take some of those at-bats at DH. But then, you know, in the big picture, it also opens the Blue Jays up to a whole lot of possibilities. You know, whether it's even going after, it would be a tough sign for them, but going after a guy even like a Russell Martin, where you could slot him in at catcher and then give some DH at-bats to Deonna Navarro. So I think overall it's just trying to give Anthopoulos as many options as he possibly can over the next few months as he tries to get creative.
The biggest question it seems facing them in the immediate term is Melky Cabrera. Do you think they get that deal done? Do you think they get it done soon? Or do you think at the minimum he goes out and tests the open market?
I think they're going to do everything possible to get that deal done, but I don't think it's going to happen quickly. You know, it does seem like the two sides are relatively far apart, and Cabrera is a difficult case. You know, Anthopoulos has talked about this a bit as well. There's no really good basis of comparison for a guy like him. I mean, the fact that they offer him a qualifying offer limits his market a little bit, but with the free agent market as weak as it is out there, you know, you'd still expect him to garner a lot of interest because he really is one of the top hitters on the open market. So I fully expect that the fact that it's gotten this far, I think Cabrera is going to really take his time and explore all possibilities because, you know, this could be his last really big contract. He's looking for, obviously a multi-year deal that's going to be worth a lot of money. He's trying to set himself up for, you know, the second half of his career and really get some long-term security there. While the Blue Jays are taking, you know, a little bit more of a cautious approach with it, I think they've made offers that they think is fair, but Cabrera thinks he can get more. So right now, you know, what Alex likes to say is that, you know, they're going to let the market kind of be the deciding factor in all of this. Cabrera will go out and see if he can get a better offer than what the Blue Jays have been kind of offering so far. And if he can, the Blue Jays will have an opportunity to match that. And if they think it's too rich, then they're going to have to move on from that. But I expect this situation to drag on for at least a few more weeks.
Even whether they get him done or not, it seems like there are a couple of significant holes that they really need to address, or if not holes, at least questions in the lineup. What do you think they do about center field?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. And I think that if they were able to get Cabrera signed, I think they're content with what they have already in center field. You know, Dalton Pompey really kind of came on the scene late last year, and the sample size was incredibly small, but the Blue Jays really did like what they saw from him over the last couple of weeks. So I think he would go into spring training as the favorite for that spot, but then you also have two other guys behind him that provide a little additional depth and give him some competition in spring training, and guys like Anthony Gosse and Kevin Pillar. So it would really be a three-person competition going into spring training. If they don't get Cabrera done, that's something that could change, whether or not the Blue Jays try and make a trade for a center fielder, whether it's a guy like a Dexter Fowler or someone like that. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to make some sort of big move to replace the big bat in Cabrera. But if they're able to get Cabrera signed, I think they'll basically stick with the status quo and have Pompey coming in as the front runner, but allow all three of those guys to compete for that job in spring.
And then what about the infield? There seems to be one opening, depending on where Brett Laurie ends up, either second or third base. There's some kind of question. What do you anticipate them doing with Laurie and therefore with whichever other spot is open?
Yeah, ideally, I think they would keep Laurie at third base. That is the spot that they do prefer him. But, you know, that's probably going to be the toughest spot for Anthopoulos to fill this offseason, because there's no real obvious candidate out there, whether it's in free agency or even through trade, that would be a great fit for that organization. You know, it's reported that, you know, a guy like Howie Kendrick has the Blue Jays on his no-trade list, so there could be some issues with a guy like him. And there's just, in terms of free agency, there's not a lot of depth out there. So, you know, that's where the flexibility comes into play again, where they do have that luxury of the fact that Laurie is a better defensive third baseman than he is a second baseman, but he can handle second base just fine. So while they'd like to have him at third base, I don't think they're necessarily married to that idea. And they could really put him in either spot. So it's whatever the best candidate that they can get to fill into that spot would really work best for that organization. But it's clear they have to do something. You know, they tried to get by last year with not making a move. They gave that job to the rookie Ryan Goins, and things didn't really work out there. He only held on to that job for the first month of the season, and then it kind of became a revolving door after that, with Munenori Kawasaki getting most of the at-bats. But that's not a situation the Blue Jays want to repeat next year. So something will get done, but it's going to be a challenge for Anthopoulos. There's no question about it, because there's no real obvious fit.
So would they not be a player for somebody like Pablo Sandoval? Is that just not the kind of thing that financially makes sense, or as far as the risk or whatever that might be?
I mean, he's someone that they could afford. They do have the type of money where they could go get a guy like that. The problem is if you were to go after Sandoval, he's going to eat up an awful lot of that available money. And because the Blue Jays, you know, don't have just one or two holes to fill, they really have multiple holes. They're going to have to really get the most that they can. So I don't see that move happening. I would be surprised if they reach out and then at least kind of test his market and see what kind of deal he is asking for. But I would be surprised if they make a move quite that big, at least not until they're out of the running for a guy like Cabrera. If they did completely drop out of the race for Cabrera, or they realized that they just weren't going to be able to get him signed, that's something that they could explore. But I have a hard time believing that they'd actually be able to get that type of deal done.
All right. Well, Gregor Chisholm, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.